Welcome to Catholic Vitamins, your dose of spiritual supplements from A to Z. Catholic Vitamins, specially formulated to help you achieve optimum spiritual health. It's time to energize your faith, forget what lies behind, and press on toward the goal.
We've already won.
Here are your hosts for Catholic Vitamins, Deacon Tom Fox and his lovely wife, Dee.
Well, hi, everyone. We're elated that you have joined us.
Nice segue, Tom.
Well,
Deacon Tom.
Yes, this is Catholic Vitamin E for elated. We're elated to have a wonderful conversion story told by our special guest, Lorelei Sovereign. And she was on EWTN and the Coming Home show with Marcus Grody. And we were able to connect with her a while back. And we got the interview accomplished. And we've been holding it until we're ready to do this particular show. But so glad that she is with us. And Dee.
We are at episode 372 on the World Wide Web. And episode 18 for our local KPIH radio show. Radio station, I mean.
Yeah, KPIH 98.9 in Payson was kind enough to, they must have had a weakness in their programming schedule, and they decided to invite us to do Catholic Vitamins on the air. But we're thankful that we get to communicate our faith nourishment program here in the community where we live. And we have another great local show that's put together by John Trouchel. It's called the KPIH Music Hour, and he always has a featured Catholic Christian musician, singer, songwriter, someone who has great fame or popularity in Christian music. And he features songs from that artist, and then he'll have some other ones as well.
I just like hearing John's voice. He's got a good radio voice.
He does. He really does. His show is currently heard Mondays at 5 p.m. and Saturdays at 11 a.m. I think there might be a change coming in his Monday show, but we'll wait until we're ready to announce that. Dee, we're in Lent, so as we enter prattle...
It has begun.
As we enter prattle for this show... We had ashes on Wednesday. I helped to distribute at one of the masses.
Yes, again, I got very generous ashes because I was in the line for our pastor. I don't think if I'd have been in your line, I would have had quite the heavy amount that I had.
Did you see what he did with the ashes?
Yes.
He kept putting holy water on them. And then
he's got a thing about holy water.
I know he does. among other things that I'm trying to do, I have given up two things, and one of them is that I've given up TV on Wednesdays and Sundays. Now, for some people, that may not be a big deal, but, you know, television for some of us can be comfort food, and if you're used to doing it... It's a little bit of a sacrifice, and so I've done that.
And if you live in a house with somebody else, it makes it a bit of a problem for the other person if they aren't wanting to give it up.
Is that what happened to you, Dee? Is that what happened? Well, are you giving it up, or are you just...
I'm giving it up because how can you have the TV on? How can one person have the TV on when you know the other person's giving it up?
Well, I could go out in the living room. You could do it in the bedroom.
It just doesn't work.
So, smilingly, we have both given up TV on Wednesday and Sunday, and I'm trying to spend more time with Holy Scripture and Holy Reading. And so that's one of the things that I'm doing for Lent. We'd be interested in hearing what any of you are doing for Lent, particularly if it's something a little bit different or out of the ordinary.
Hey, backing up to Ash Wednesday.
Yes.
I remember you said that both you and Father were remarking to each other about how you saw an awful lot of faces that day that you had never seen before.
I don't think we understand what this is. There are a lot of people who you know, don't come to church regularly, and it's not for us to judge them, but, you know, the teaching of the church is that we come to honor the Lord Jesus and participate in the passion, death, and resurrection of Christ each Sunday, and at least on Sunday. And some people don't do that, but they will come for Ash Wednesday.
I can't understand that.
I don't either. I really don't. So if you happen to be a Pace Catholic, do you know what a Pace Catholic is?
I do.
Palms, ashes, Christmas, and Easter.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So if you happen to be one of those and you happen to be listening to Catholic Vitamins, our encouragement for you is to please join us at least once a week, or maybe during Lent you can add the practice of going to daily Mass as well. Well, Tom and Dee are at our first break point in Prattle. We'll take that break and we'll be back.
Lord, whenever you speak to me, I am listening. Here I am with uplifted hands. Ask whatever you want of me. I am willing. I completely trust your plans. I completely trust your plans. Lord, I love to be in your presence, just to spend time adoring you. At your feet,
Dee, do you remember who that is singing that lovely song?
I most certainly do. We were blessed to have met her in person before, and her husband, and we had them here in our home for a little while.
We did. Margot B. Smith is a musician and singer from currently in Florida, which she was in Arizona, so we could see she and her husband more often, but she's recorded a number of albums, and she's been a guest on Catholic Vitamins twice, I think, and we just really love her gentle singing voice.
We thank her for allowing us to use her music.
For sure. Well, adoration is raised in that song of hers, Spending Time Adoring You, and Dee and I were doing a little bit of conversation Saturday morning over breakfast, talking about things that people could do for Lent. I found a Catholic pro-life ministry, and it's called lent.goodcounselhomes.org, lent.goodcounselhomes.org. And it's a ministry that provides safe haven for women in crisis pregnancies, and it does a lot of other good work to help women give safe birth to their children. I also found an article in the National Catholic Register called Unusual or New Things to Do for Lent, and I found something interesting by the Friars of the Atonement. Yes.
Catholic Lenten Devotionals.
So, you know, there's just so many opportunities for us to, I'm going to use the words, shake up our faith a little bit. So many times, most of us want to just keep doing what we've been doing. I've told the story probably on Catholic Vitamins two or three times that I've preached about it, about a woman who once said to me, Deacon Tom, you keep talking about doing something different at Lent. I've been doing the same thing for 40 years, and I don't want to change. And I just think, well, that's just the problem. You've been doing the same thing for 40 years. And what we need to do is, you know, open the window and let God's grace come in and freshen up our faith practice. Dee, what else do we have?
Well, I'm going to share our friend Jim and Candy's Ash Wednesday story.
More about Lent, but this is with a smile. What happened? Do you remember?
Well, they left Mass Ash Wednesday, and they went to one of the local grocery stores.
Yes, we won't mention which one.
And they were in line to check out, and a couple checkers away kept looking. Candy knows that the lady kept looking, or I guess it was a lady, kept looking at them.
It was in the next lane.
Yeah, and kept looking at them and kept looking at them. And the lady who was checking them out made some mention about Ash Wednesday when she saw the ashes on her forehead. But what happened with the lady on the next aisle?
She said, "What the heck?" But she didn't use the word heck. Apparently, she had no idea about Christian practice for the beginning of Lent. And, you know, at one time I volunteered for as a part-time computer person helping an architect. And when I went in on Ash Wednesday one morning, he said, "Hey, you got something on your forehead." And I wanted to say, "Well, hello, yes, I've got something on my forehead.
You know I have something on my forehead."
Yeah. He was a Methodist, I guess, in his church. They didn't do that. All right, well, that's a little more prattle from Tom and Dee. Next up, after a break, we'll be back with our special guest.
You are so small, nestled snug and warm. I'm going to shower you with kisses on the day you're born. Will you have your daddy's eyes? And will you have my smile? I'm counting the days till I hold you.
Here we are in our eighth year of Catholic Vitamins, excuse me, and I am blessed to be with my lovely wife, Dee, doing this interview. Hi, Dee.
Hi.
We don't normally get to sit together for these interviews.
No, I kind of let you take them and run with them.
But today we're blessed in another way. We're blessed to be with Lorelei Saverin. Is that how you pronounce your last name?
Yeah, Saverin, kind of like a king is Saverin.
Oh, okay. All right. Sovereign. So a little bit softer on the A, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, welcome to Catholic Vitamins, Lorelei. And we discovered you through the Coming Home Network. We were talking about that offline. And for those who have been with Catholic Vitamins for a long while, they'll know because we've had Marcus Grodi himself on our show. And we've had a few people who've been guests on the Coming Home television program, and we're blessed to have you join us as well. We'll get into how you got on the show and what you had to talk about, but why don't we start in the earliest years? Tell us about where you were born and what your family was like and if there was faith in the early years.
Sure. I was baptized in the Catholic Church as an infant, which is an interesting start to my story because I wasn't raised in the Catholic Church. For about the first 5 years of my life, my family didn't attend church on a regular basis. I remember my brother being baptized. He's a little bit younger than I am, but we didn't go to church regularly. But the idea of Jesus was appealing to me, and I was very drawn to Jesus from an early age, even though we didn't have any sort of official family practice. But then when we turned we moved to the Green Bay area in Wisconsin, and we ended up, my mom got a recommendation for a church, and we started going as a family to a Nazarene church when I was about 5 years old and stayed there until I was in high school when I made another transition. So a big part of my early faith life was in the Nazarene church.
What was that like?
You know, looking back, it was a very interesting time. Our church was relatively small. There was an altar up front. There was pews. There was hymnals. There were a lot of the components of a more traditional church service, but they're very conservative too. At least in my particular church, there was even a phase of time where I felt like it was morally wrong to listen to anything other than Christian music. And I believe I got baptized possibly two more times while I was at that church. At some point, they did re-baptisms there. I don't know if that's official Nazarene teaching, but it was what our church did. I was able to start singing and helping to lead worship there from a very young age, but we were very small. We sang to the taped recordings of the Christian songs and just had microphones in the taped recordings. But in general, very conservative, very, you know, women dressed modestly. It was very fundamentalist. Science was sort of a thing that was sketchy or something to have caution against. The idea of evolution and things like that were strictly not accepted. And so it was a very unique kind of bubble for me growing up in that. But even though I had kind of all those interesting components to my early faith life, that church is where I first began to understand myself as a Christian. So I have the little prayer card that I signed on the day that I prayed the sinner's prayer, sort of. And I don't think that that was necessarily the moment that I became a Christian, especially considering now looking back at my baptism. But I believed in Jesus from the moment I could understand what it meant to believe in Jesus. So there was this really awesome, genuine start to my faith there. It was just kind of a unique and interesting setting. It was very set apart from the rest of the world, I think, as far as just its beliefs and whatnot.
So did this continue into your teen years?
Yes. In my teen years, my parents got divorced right around when I was 12 or so. And at that point in time, church became much less of a family affair. And I ended up having a friend in school who went to an Assembly of God youth group. And so I thought I'd join her and go see what her youth group was about. And I really liked it there. Whereas my church was very small and there were very few people my age there, this youth group was Assembly of God, but it was huge. It had amazing volunteers that spent so much time just pouring into relationships with the teens that went there. They did a lot of fun events. So my faith continued very strongly in a different setting. In high school, I started going to that church on my own, but I was president of Bible club in high school. The faith that I started when I was younger was very much still alive and well all through high school and very strong.
Okay. After you graduated from high school, what was the course of your faith walk or your education or whatever afterwards?
So I went for a while to an evangelical Lutheran college, and that was really one of my first exposures to the differences in how many different worldviews there are out there. In high school, a lot of my friends went to the same youth group. A lot of us had very similar beliefs. I had a couple Catholic friends, but they also came to the youth group with me at the Assembly of God Church, and then they went to Mass with their family on Sundays. But in all, I didn't really think there were that many differences in outlooks on the world until I went to this college, and I was all of a sudden in a minority. I was surrounded by students who didn't really have a faith walk and who maybe were more agnostic or atheistic or whose idea of right and wrong was different than mine. And certainly, depending on the professor in the class, their worldview was very different than mine too. So it was the first time I really realized that, wow, there are a lot of differences out there in beliefs and worldviews, and it's pretty rampant. And I'm actually in a spot where I'm not the majority, and not everyone, not even most people, think like me.
I happen to know from reading ahead of the story that you're narrating for us today that you are married, and your husband's nickname is JP, I believe.
Yes.
Where did he come into the picture?
In college, yes. My end of freshman year, over that summer break, about going into sophomore year, I was visiting a friend from college, and she was dating a young man at the time, and he brought with him to hang out with us, his best friend from childhood, whose name was JP, which I found out was short for John Paul, and he is named after Pope John Paul II. And I thought he was so nice, and he was so handsome, and he was very kind, and I liked him a lot. But I went home after meeting him that first weekend, and I told my mom, and I said, I met this really nice guy, but he's Catholic. And my
my mom sounds like my story.
My mom's very open-minded and very calm about things, and she didn't seem like that was a big deal. But for me, that was also a moment of realization that I had picked up along the way somehow these anti-Catholic beliefs and thoughts, and I still can't, to this day, I can't pinpoint any time I specifically heard somebody telling me anti-Catholic things, but it was just something that was ingrained throughout, and it was enough that it gave me pause if it would be a prudent decision to continue or go into a relationship with him at that point. So that was very interesting for me to sort of be confronted with my hesitations about the Catholic faith. And it didn't get any easier once I got introduced to his very, very huge and very Catholic family. Mm-hmm. That was a whole nother level. And they're wonderful and nice and beautiful people. But it was intimidating at first. I only have one brother. I had a handful of cousins, and all of his family, like his aunts and uncles, have anywhere between like 4 and 7 kids. And they all, almost all, there's only a few that aren't practicing Catholics, but overwhelmingly very strong practicing Catholics. So when I went to go meet them all, we went on a ski trip together. They all gathered together in the living room of the house we were staying at, and they all started praying some Catholic prayer where they all knew the words, and it was some lengthy prayer. It could have been the Divine Mercy. It could have been any number of things. And I was so overwhelmed by that because we never prayed rote prayers when I was growing up in my own Christian faith. We just spoke prayers. We just made them up on the spot. And so this idea of all these people kind of saying these things at the same time and in the same cadence and rhythm was really overwhelming to me. And I went upstairs and I hid in the bathroom and I cried because I was like, what are these people doing? Yeah, it was very overwhelming, even though they were very nice. But I think as someone coming in from the outside, I think maybe it's good to remember a little bit how strange that is from someone coming from the tradition that I was coming from to see that, you know, there were Hail Marys in there, and that was all very foreign to me. And we laugh about it now, but initially I was thinking to myself, oh my goodness, what did I get into?
Well, Dee is doubly smiling as you're narrating this. What we remember isn't religious, but when she took her first trip to meet my family up in Detroit, they are a loving, outgoing, hugging-oriented family.
The opposite of what mine was back then.
Dee came from Methodist roots, very rural Methodist roots in Pennsylvania. And, you know, I guess it just seemed a little overwhelming to her. But Dee said that she quickly learned to love hugging.
I did. And over the years, I turned my family into a hugging family.
That's great.
All right. Well, this is interesting now. So they're praying together. You're up in the bathroom retreating from this sort of foreign faith practice. How did you react with JP? I mean, did you tell him about your discomfort, or how did you progress a little bit?
Yeah, so I told him about my discomfort a lot in the coming years as we continued. We dated. We had a very short dating and then engagement. We were between dating and being engaged. It was about a year and a half before we got married. So we got married relatively young. He had just graduated college, and I hadn't even graduated college yet. But it was something where we would go to a Catholic event at his home and or at a relative's house, and one of the aunts would talk to me about being Catholic, and I would cry or be overwhelmed. And so we talked about it a lot, and I had every misconception under the sun, and I argued with him a lot about those points. And even though JP was brought up in the faith, he didn't have as strong of an ability at that point to present the counterpoint to it. And so it's still something that's hard for me to talk about looking back, but I slowly chipped away at his faith. And shortly after we were married, a couple years after we were married, we had been going to Mass and we had been going to a Protestant church, sometimes separately, sometimes together on Sundays. And unity was just a real struggle for us. And we knew we wanted children and we're thinking, how are we going to raise our children worshiping the same God and feeling like we can't be at each other, or we can't just go to one church, that we have to go to two. And so eventually we ended up going to the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and JP never officially left the Catholic Church, but he stopped attending Mass at that point. And we started going to the Missouri Synod Church together, and we played on the worship team there, and they were wonderful people. And in my mind, it was all the things that were good about Catholicism, but not the things that I had issues with it. So it was more liturgical. It followed the liturgical calendar. It was more traditional. They had a closer belief to what Catholics did in communion than any of the other churches I had been to. And they maintained at least, you know, two sacraments were in common. And so it's difficult for me looking back. For us, though, I think it was almost a necessary step to have that period of searching together.
Boy, I could just feel the struggle to know God's will, to know what was the best thing to do, mm-hmm. how to raise children without a division in mm-hmm. faith practice. So one by one, you began to chip away at the issues that you found with the Catholic faith. I might ask, what was the first issue and what was the last issue, if you remember these?
Yeah, I remember very early on in our marriage that I pulled out my New International Version of the Bible, and I don't have a background in languages or translations of scripture or anything, but I pointed out to my husband, I said, Mary didn't have union with Joseph until Jesus was born in my version. And that until to me implied that clearly they had normal marital relations throughout their marriage, and the Catholic belief is that Mary's ever virgin. And so with my little knowledge and that one word and that one translation, I remember making that point to him and making it strongly enough and arguing with him about it, that the Catholic Church obviously couldn't be right on that. So Mary stuff was a huge one. And I think also the idea of confession, I honestly, looking back, didn't really think about my own sin very much prior to my journey into the Catholic Church. But in my mind, why did you have to go and tell your sins to a human being when God can just forgive you of them? And so I didn't understand that at all. So they're probably two of the ones that were relatively significant. But I argued him over almost everything. There were a couple things that didn't bother me. I was okay with infant baptism, and I wasn't completely weirded out by the idea of the Eucharist. I was weirded out by the idea of the sacrifice of the Mass, thinking that Catholics were sacrificing Jesus over and over and over again, and that they didn't believe the one sacrifice was sufficient. So those are some of the big ones, but there were many, many, many.
Okay. At some point, you began to consider entry into the Catholic Church. How did that mm-hmm. come about? Yeah. What did you do?
Yeah, so we veered from the Lutheran Church a little bit, and I entered a really dark period, and JP did too, where we were living more like people who went to church on Sundays and who didn't believe it enough that it impacted our life. We were practical agnostics who, in my case at least, I was leading worship on Sunday, not even knowing at that point if I believed what I was singing. And it was a really dark phase for both of us, wondering if we were just going to abandon the faith, if the faith that we had been taught as children was just a fairy tale. Was there substance to it? Was there depth to it? And we ended up at a Baptist, a Calvinist church. And that was the beginning of the end for me, seeing as we got more involved in the church, the Calvinistic aspect of the church wasn't really emphasized while we were going through the membership class, but we learned about the Calvinist belief on predestination and that God just has predestined some people for heaven and some people for hell. And it sort of takes away a person's ability to work in cooperation with God because they believe in total depravity, that we're totally depraved and there's nothing that we can do to please God on our own. And so that started really bothering me. It didn't sit right with me, with my understanding of God. And I've, by this point, seen all these differences in all these different denominations over the years. And I also started really hungering for a connection to early church history. I started becoming bothered with the fact that I was able to, for so long, go to church on Sunday and not live a Christian life the rest of the week. And what was it, the American church that was the problem? Like, what was the issue there? And where was our connection to history? And no one seemed to know what the early church did and what the early church practiced. So through a process of researching, both JP and I, JP started reading theology books, and he started actually gravitating towards Catholic theologians, and he started wanting to kind of go back to the Catholic Church, but he didn't want to tell me because I had been so against it for so long, so he kept it kind of to himself. I think he made one offhand comment one time. And then on my end, I was sitting on my couch one night, and I was looking at different denominations again and trying to figure out, like, I knew that we weren't a fit for the Calvinist belief system. And I thought back to my in-laws and their church. I knew had a connection to the early church history. I knew that they were more connected to history than I was. I knew from my own experience that I no longer believed in once saved, always saved, because my own life, I had a genuine faith as a child, and I was about ready to walk away from it. And maybe at some points, I think I might have crossed that line. So I didn't believe in that. And social justice was very important to me, the idea of serving the poor and the needy, and that the church exists not only to serve itself, but to serve the world in need. And then I also had grown frustrated with the idea that we all in the Protestant world are just deciding how we want to interpret Scripture and what we believe to be true. Some people believe baptism is essential and some people didn't. So it was all those things kind of swirling together in a perfect storm. And I'm sitting on my couch and I thought, oh dear, I think I need to give the Catholic Church a second look. And I need to actually give it a fair shot for the first time in my life.
How long had you been married at this point?
At that point, we had been married. Let's see, I came into the church in 2016, and it was winter of 2016. So about 8 years, over 8 years.
Okay.
Long time to be sitting and discussing and sometimes arguing and something.
searching.
Yeah.
It was a very, looking back, we were fairly restless, and we didn't even know it when we were in the middle of it.
So who blinked first?
It was me. We went on a date. We're having dinner together, and I looked at JP and I said, would you have any interest in going to Mass this weekend? And he just about couldn't even handle it, because unbeknownst to me, he was praying for our unity and he was feeling drawn back to the Catholic Church. And those were words I never in a million years thought would come in my mouth. And so I had a friend who was Catholic, and I asked her where she went to church, and we were at Mass 2 days later.
Wonderful, wonderful. So did you go through RCIA?
Yes. So we got plugged in. They had already kind of started, but because of our background and the level of what we had been learning and researching over the years, they let us kind of join a little late, and we got caught up and up to speed, and I just devoured everything. And at that point, I was so ready for truth. I was going to go in there, and I was going to ask every single question that I had, and I wasn't going to be afraid to ask it, because I had gone for so many years with all these questions and none of them being answered to a level of depth that really satisfied me. Some of the answers that we had gotten in some of our other church membership, kind of in quotations, it's a much less formal process for a lot of Protestant churches. Classes, a lot of answers to questions that we had that were not satisfactory. And so I thought, well, if this is the church, it can handle all of my questions. So I just went at it, and I started finding out really quickly that every question I had an answer, and that the depth that it was able to be answered in was so satisfying and so thorough, and it cross-checked itself against all the scriptures on the topic and church history. And it just all made sense together. And I also started coming to terms with the fact that I had a lot of misconceptions, and I thought the Catholic Church believed certain things that it didn't, or I had misconstrued it, or I had twisted it in some way, or understood only part of the reality of it. So once I started digging in and I had an open heart, I was relieved. I was so thankful. I was so excited. And it was a huge answer to prayer for my in-laws and my husband, and everyone was so excited to follow along with that journey and just watch our marriage grow in unity as we were in RCIA and moving towards, for me, entering the church.
So JP was going through RCIA as well?
Yeah, so he joined me as often as we had a babysitter, so he could come back and he could know his faith, and he wanted to know it thoroughly, and he wanted to come back and not be in a position again where he didn't have answers to questions of why he believed what he believed. So that was really beautiful to do together.
Amen. Gosh, what a beautiful story you're sharing with us. So we've heard about the in-law side of things.
Yeah, what were the reactions from your family and your friends?
Yes, so my family was supportive. They were fine with it. We didn't have any issues there. But the challenge came for us in the church that we were leaving, and our friends, who many of whom were at the Calvinist church and believe that the Catholic Church isn't a Christian church. And that was very, very difficult. We were in a life group, which like a small Bible study at the time. And once we let the leader of that know that we were going to be transitioning to the Catholic Church, we weren't allowed to go back, and we weren't allowed to say goodbye to our friends who were at that group. And it became just very awkward and sad. In some ways, I understand, because of the point of view that they're coming from, I probably couldn't have expected a much different reaction. But at the same time, it put a bit of a shadow on what otherwise was a really beautiful experience. We just had some loneliness that we dealt with as we left that church, and we still needed to get connected to our Catholic parish. Takes a little time to get to know people, and it just felt very abrupt. And so that was hard. And looking back, there's been a lot of healing in that area for both of us, and we're okay now. We have some great friends, and we've been able to maintain some of the friendships from the church that we left. But there were a lot of tears, a lot of difficult conversations didn't go as well as I had hoped they would. And, so, and I think in some ways it's important to share that side of things too, because when I was reading other people's conversion stories and I was going through that hard time, when I knew that someone else had a lonely period in their conversion, that helped encourage me and let me know that I wasn't alone in having that be part of my journey too.
What was your mass at entry? Was it Easter Vigil?
Yes. So we got permission from my archdiocese and the archdiocese in the Twin Cities for me to get confirmed at the Cathedral of St. Paul, Minnesota. So all those in-laws and all those cousins and aunts and uncles who had prayed for so long, so they could be there to see it. And that was amazing. That cathedral is just breathtaking. And I had one of the aunts, JP's aunt, who had talked to me so much and overwhelmed me at times early on in my marriage, she ended up being my confirmation sponsor, because I just thought that, you know, God is faithful. And she was speaking the truth to me even before I was ready to hear it, but she always did it in love, and she had the most sincere heart. And so it was beautiful to be able to ask her to stand beside me as I came in, and just looking out at that huge church. The Easter Vigil service just blows my mind. It's amazing and stunning in all the senses. And I was just looking out, and I knew in that moment that I was connected to church history, and I was connected to truth, and I was connected to correct interpretation. And I had this unbreakable bond now with the earliest Christians and apostolic succession. And I was home, and I still am. And it still gets me emotional when I'm thinking about it, because we had been so restless for so long, and finally I didn't have to be restless anymore.
Yeah, I think you and I shared a little bit doing our setup work about emotions. I'm emotional listening to people like yourself who've discovered the truth that I had, you know, my own journey to find. And it's so beautiful to hear of this entry into the church. What has been the path since then? You found a parish. You're in a parish. Are you involved in music or any other services in the church? Any other liturgical support?
Yes. So we have on occasion we've supported with RCIA, and I'm actually going to be helping with a couple sessions coming up with that. And I've been able to cantor at Mass, and that is such a beautiful and humbling opportunity to be able to join in leading the congregation through the liturgy. Part of my struggle I didn't mention earlier on was the churches that I was at, sort of, they had a stage, there were lights, and sometimes worship felt more like a concert or a performance than a reverential worship. So being able to be in the Catholic Church where it's still, music is still beautiful and it's still lifting up the service and the congregation and song is wonderful, but it's not a performance and it's not a concert. You're leading the church through the song portions of the liturgy, and that's just been wonderful. Sung at a couple weddings, and my daughter and I are in the family choir there as well, which has been really cool to sing with her.
And so what do you have for family now?
We have three children. We have a daughter and then a son and then another daughter, so almost six, three, and one.
Oh,
did you tell JP about the free Catholic Vitamins babysitting service?
That sounds amazing. Yes, we don't get out as much as we used to back in the day, but our third baby is actually because of our or JP's reversion and my conversion to the Catholic Church. We were open to life again, and that's why Mary Charlotte is in existence. And I'm
beautiful.
So thankful for her.
Amen. Amen. Well, this, Lorelei, has just been a joy to our hearts to spend time with you and to hear your search for truth and to know that it has borne fruit, wonderful fruit, in terms of your marriage, for your family, and that you're sharing it now with others. I do know that you are a blogger to some extent. Maybe you could give out some connectivity information.
Sure, yes. JP and I, mostly me, but sometimes I can corral JP into writing a post. We have a website called thiscatholicfamily.com, and the website shares bits of updates from our own family life in the Catholic Church, and then we also do some apologetics work I think it's been helpful for me to have come from a Protestant background, because you kind of have these different languages in the Catholic Church and the Protestant world, and I can kind of speak both languages, and I know perhaps some ways to explain things that could help clear up misconceptions. So part of our work is apologetics, and then part of it is just sharing our life and our kids and our marriage with people.
So if they go to www.thiscatholicfamily.com, will they find ways to reach out to you if someone wanted to do so?
Yeah. Yep. There's a connect tab on the top of the page, and definitely can follow or send us an email. We have a Facebook page as well, This Catholic Family on Facebook, which is another way to connect.
Well, as you and I did our setup work, I shared with you that we never know where somebody is going to hear Catholic Vitamins, and may it please the Lord God that somebody in the world or some people in the world will hear the journey that you've been on, and it will help them in their faith walk. And you're also going to be on our KPIH 98.9 Catholic Radio in our Payson community here in Arizona, where we're living. And where we do the babysitting from. So you have to come from, you have to come from Wisconsin.
Yeah, that sounds great. We love traveling.
Yeah, well, you could drop the kids off, then you and JP could go do the Grand Canyon.
That's right. Well, no, they probably have kids old enough to want to see the Grand Canyon, too.
Maybe, yeah.
Well, yeah, we'll be down there at some point, because that's definitely a beautiful area of our country.
Lorelei Sovereign, it's been a joy to be with you. We will keep you in our prayers, I promise. And thank you so much for coming on Catholic Vitamins.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been great.
Bye.
D, I said to you, what a sweetheart this young wife and mother has been to get to know. And I was so glad that you were with me for the interview. So
I was shaking my head again, listening to her talking about the churches, the Protestant churches, or the other non-denominational churches that had what seemed like a stage. And,
performance-oriented church.
The way I feel, too, when I go in.
All right. Well, dear friends, leaving the elated feeling that we have from spending time. Elated, Dee, did you get that?
Yes, dear.
Spending time with Lorelei Sovereign. I do want to call attention to the fact that we've started this show and haven't been able to connect with our sometime correspondent, Sandy Greggs.
I think she's frozen up in Erie, Pennsylvania.
I know. But we did hear from her for another reason.
I know. I got to read this text she sent to us. Sandy says, "They say that imitation is the highest form of flattery. Consider yourselves flattered because I've imitated you. I'm offering a 6-week Lenten teaching and calling us faith travelers."
Oh, my goodness.
Now, there is a northeastern branch as well as a southwestern branch of faith travelers. Bless us all as we journey through Lent.
Well, the background, dear friends, is if you've been with us anytime, you've heard us talk about a group that we get together with every couple of weeks to try and learn more about our faith. It's called Faith Travelers, and Sandy is opening up. I wonder if she's paid her royalty fee to us for that. But at any rate, well, congratulations to Sandy for doing that, and once again, to be evangelizing as she is just absolutely wonderful. Dee, what else do we have?
Well, we know how we love music.
Yes, we do.
And we play a lot on our show, but I had one sad little thing that popped up in my inbox last week, and Wesla Whitfield, one of our favorite singers in the San Francisco area, passed away at age 70.
Yeah, Wesla is a wonderful singer, and her husband,
a cabaret singer, I think you'd call her.
Yeah, that'd probably be right. I can't say that we can promote anything that she did faith oriented, but she had a lovely, intimate voice for singing the kind of cabaret music that Dee just mentioned, and she was very intimate in her performances.
Right. We saw her in person many times.
Yeah, we were able to sit up close, and she was very down to earth during the breaks and whatever.
So it was sad to read about that, but I can go online and listen to her music anytime. It's wonderful.
All right. Well, Dee, I think we're ready to take a break, and we come back for more on Catholic Vitamins.
This is Sonia Corbett, author of Unleashed, reminding you to get your Catholic vitamin every week on Catholic Vitamins.
Ever heard the phrase pine time? It means slowing down. No hurry, no worry. Would you like to enjoy some pine time for yourself? You can. Just under 2 hours north of Phoenix in the small scenic town of Pine is a comfortable vacation rental property called Pine Time Getaway. A fully furnished 3-bedroom, 2-bath mountain home that awaits your stay. Towering ponderosa pines along with elk, deer, beautiful birds, and more are seen throughout the area and property all year long. Marvel at these sights with a cup of coffee, tea, or hot chocolate as you sit in the rocking chairs out on the front porch. Take a walk or plan a hike on a nearby trail. Or when a winter storm hits, play in the snow. Read a book by the wood-burning stove. Just relax. Pine Time Getaway Vacation Rental is a perfect rim country destination. So get out of the hustle and bustle of the city and head up to the mountain to Pine Time Getaway today. Check out our reviews, rates, and amenities at www.pinetimegetaway.com.
Well, that was our sort of first underwriting announcement on Catholic Vitamins from Pine Time Getaway, the delightful property that Jim and Candy Bridges own up in Pine.
We highly recommend it.
We have been there, and actually I stayed there for a day and an overnight when I was writing the Ave Maria Press book that I was writing. I had to get away, and that was a nice place to go and do writing.
I heard from a friend the other day who said that she pulled out your little Lenten book from last year, and she's going to use it again this Lent.
Oh, my. Oh, my. Well, Dee, you have some things in your hands. I know we've got some giveaways to
work on.
Right,
we picked two new giveaways to start today, but we have two CDs, Holy Shock by Rosalind Moss, better known as Mother Miriam.
The conversion story of Mother Miriam, and who are the winners?
We're going to, here we go. Oh. Deanna Grants, which I'm not sure where she's from. I got to find out where she's from. And Risa in Pennsylvania.
Oh, great, great. Glad to be sending a faith warrior like Risa a copy of the Rosalind Moss conversion story. What else do you have?
And then we've got the Champions of the Rosary book by Father Donald Calloway, and that is going to Cindy in Washington State.
Great. All right. These are things that we have been calling for a while, hot off the press, meaning they're relatively new publications or audio things. We have two new ones that we're going to announce today.
We got a CD by Steve Ray. It is Defending the Eucharist. You are what you eat.
Steve Ray was a recent guest on Catholic Vitamins, and we played a bit of his conversion story. So you know that, like Lorelei, he's been through a lot to get to the truth of the Catholic faith. And anything that he talks about with scriptural authority and great personal belief.
And, you know, I was at the Catholic Women's Conference in Phoenix last week, and Danielle Bean was one of the keynote speakers. And I have a book by her in my hand called You're Worth It. Change the way you feel about yourself by discovering how Jesus feels about you.
Isn't that a wonderful topic?
I love that title.
Yeah, You're Worth It. Discovering the Love That Jesus Has for You, a new book by Danielle Bean, and we're so glad to promote that. Now, we're going to probably run this for about three episodes of Catholic Vitamins, so there is time for you to get your entry in.
Or four or five, which sometimes we do, depends what happens.
Whether we travel
along the way.
Or, yeah. Send your entry request for our giveaways to catholicvitamins@gmail.com. CatholicVitamins@gmail.com. And I guess if you live in our radio marketplace, you could call our radio station 928-363-4144, 928-363-4144, and leave your name and contact information, and we'll put that in a basket, and then we'll do a drawing, just as Dee has announced drawings for the most recent giveaways.
Since I just mentioned Steve Ray and his CD, we had an email just today, an email from our friend Lisa back in Colorado. She said she was fascinated to hear the interview with Steve Ray, and one of her bucket list items is a trip to Ireland. And she perked up, she said, when she heard him talk about going a pilgrimage to Ireland. Well, Lisa, I don't know if you'll get to do that with him someday, but I hope so. And it's also on our bucket list to do a pilgrimage with Steve and Janet Ray.
Yeah, for sure.
Probably to the Holy Land is where we'd really
wouldn't that be? Yeah, that'd be nice, yeah.
And she enjoyed your Lenten booklet last year, Lisa said. This year that she and her husband are doing Bishop Barron's reflection book for Lent this year. They just saw him speak in Denver a couple weeks ago.
Wonderful. Lisa is a good friend and a prayer partner that we have in the Denver suburban area. Well, Dee, we're going to take another break and we'll be back for our final segment on Catholic Vitamins.
I could be in the most amazing place on earth, but if there's a bug right in front of my face, that's all I'll notice. Family, community, a hard day's work, good food. That's the simple stuff that makes life worth living. And so often, that's the stuff we don't really take the time to notice. I mean, how many times have I come home and my little girl runs to me for a hug and I'm not fully present to her because of something annoying that happened at work hours before? How many times I've raced through an amazing meal my wife made because of the next thing I have to rush off and get to? How many days have kind of passed me by because of plans I'm making for tomorrow? The moment you're in right now, it's a gift from God. That's why it's called the present. Don't let the blessings of today pass you by because of a little distraction, a little bug in front of your eye. This is Chris Stefanik from RealLifeCatholic.com.
All right, Dee, that little promo that we played for Real Life Catholic is directed primarily to the co-host of Catholic Vitamins. All right.
Well, I like Chris.
I want to start our wrap up by saying that we're going to go out with some music by Margot B. Smith, and you can find her music at margotbsmith.com. And she says, "It is a deep desire of mine to share God's love through songs so that he may be praised, loved, and glorified. Hopefully the music I write will be a blessing to you." And it certainly has been. It's a joy to know her.
I love her music. I love her voice.
Dee, we are ready to get the last of things in.
Vita Scrabble for next time.
That means a tease for the upcoming vitamin?
Yes. Catholic vitamin F. Ends in N. 10 letters.
So I'm going to give a little bit more of a clue on this.
Okay.
I have talked about something often on Catholic Vitamins over the years.
That begins with F.
And if you can think of what that is, put that into a vitamin and send your guess to CatholicVitamins@gmail.com. And we'll put your name in yet another basket if you've got the correct guess. I want to thank Lorelei Sovereign once again for coming on Catholic Vitamins, and her website, she and her husband JP, write at thiscatholicfamily.com, and you can reach out to her there if you'd like to or see what they're blogging about. And Dee, do we have any other wrap-up things that we need to do?
I think we covered a lot today.
Yeah, we really did. All right, well, there's probably more to come on Catholic Vitamins, and you'll have to join us on the next show for that. So until then, we send our elated greetings about being members of the Catholic faith, and we hope that you found today's show nourishing and enlightening.
Bye.
From A to Z, Catholic Vitamins. Don't enter the race without them. See you next time.
This is Deacon Tom. Blessings.
Whether we are happy or feeling distressed, we can praise the Lord. Experience the worst, then experience the best. We can praise the Lord. Whether we have failures or success, we can merciful and just. God is almighty, in him we can trust.